Well, that's why we're here. We want to praise God, don't we? He deserves it all. He really does. And thank you, Carol, for blessing us with that challenge in our lives. Well, it says, dear God, dear Bill, and God family at Grand Ledge, before I deposit the checks that you gave me, I wanted to be sure and send this note to express my thanks to you. Thank you for a comfortable place to stay, for all the good meals, excellent fellowship. Thank you for your encouraging words and for the opportunity to serve God for those 3 days. Also want to say that I find myself at loss for words to express adequate thanks to you for the offering and checks that you gave me. This is such an exceptional amount. I really don't know what to say. I just want to say thank you very much. And trust you will know that I'm very grateful for such kind generosity. This in all, in addition to your faithful monthly support that you send. I'm so encouraged and want you to know my sincere gratitude for such a gift. It was just a very pleasant time to be with you. May God richly bless you as you continue to build His kingdom in Grand Ledge. With sincere gratitude and praise, our Bush. Just want to say thank you. So I shared that with you today. Remember last week we referred to Hezekiah. We referred to him in Kings and also in Chronicles. And there we find very clearly that all that it says in the Holy Scriptures is that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of God. What was right in the sight of God. And if you look at that word right and the aspects of it, we certainly understand that if indeed we are committed to God, we will be committed to doing what is right in His eyes. With every aspect of our being. 1 Peter 2:15 said, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." By doing what is right. In a lot of time frames of history, the church has blackballed the name of Jesus because of the immorality and all the other aspects that have taken place under the umbrella of Christianity. We know the Revelation talks about the white stone and the black stone and whatever. And the aspects of that is really, it's really devastating to see how corrupt sometimes those who call themselves Christians live in the community where they are found. The aspects is, as we look at the word right and use it as a directive aspect, we know that the first letter is R. And last week we represented that with the word righteousness. And Jesus made it emphatic when he said in the Beatitudes, "Happy, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled." Righteousness is the only answer for your life and mine being filled. If you feel an emptiness within yourself, then maybe you need to evaluate your life and how much and how often each day of your life you're walking in obedience to God. Abraham, it was credited to him as righteousness because he obeyed God. Romans chapter 4, verse 22. God looked upon Abraham as righteous because when God said, "Leave Ur," he did it. When God said, "Take your son Isaac up into the mountain and sacrifice him," he did it. Whatever God commanded Abraham to do, he did it. And therefore, it was credited to him as being righteous. Romans 5:17, it says that righteousness is a gift of God credited based on one's obedience. I like the songwriter who said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way." That's the essence of life, is trusting God and walking in obedience to Him. The second letter is I, which we looked at as an element of integrity, which is really lacking in our political world in every way today, corrupt aspects, because integrity is what you choose to be. And then man or woman of integrity. Are you a man or a woman of integrity? Integrity means one who walks without falsehood or deceit. One who holds to a moral code and standards without wavering. That's integrity. Listen to it again. One who walks without falsehood or deceit. One who holds to a moral code and standards without their no wavering. No wavering. And the fruit of integrity, as we saw last week, why would I want to be a person of integrity? Because that's where I find my security. That's where I have guidance. That's where I find an element of my life never being shaken. I have stability, and I will be preserved in my life by God if I walk in my integrity before Him. Job 31:6. Job, who went through all that he went through, Job asserts his integrity. Job says, "Let him, God, weigh me with accurate scales, and let God know my integrity." Let God know my integrity. We need to be in people of integrity. We stand for a moral code and we will not waver. We are going to do what is right in God's eyes, not in what's right in man's eyes. Period. Period. And the aspects of that is ongoing. The third letter we're going to look at this morning is the letter G. And of course, when we think of G, we say G. It represents, I believe, one great powerful word in the Bible. And the word is good. Good. Doing what is right in God's eyes. Doing what is good in the eyes of God. Three boys were discussing their father's vocation. One boy said, "Well, my dad is a doctor, and I get all my medical care and everything for nothing." The other boy said, "Well, my dad's a dentist, and I get my teeth taken care of for nothing." And the other little boy said, "Well, my dad is a preacher, and I'm good for nothing." Good. You ever look up words and see what they really mean? Good. Good is that which is favorable, favorable character, a quality of soundness, wholeness that conforms to the moral order of the universe. Remember when God created the universe, He said, "Everything, it is good." Do you know what He meant when He said, "It is good"? It is good. It is good. He's saying that everything He created in the order in which He created it does and indeed interact and make everything complete and whole. When He finally got to the end of it all, He said He made man in His image. And for whatever aspect it is climaxed by these words, He said, "It is very good." It is very good. So in every aspect of good, its soundness, its wholeness, it confirms to the moral order of the universe a praiseworthy characteristic that benefits the whole. It benefits the whole. Listen to that. Whole. It benefits the whole. Everything and everything that it has and in existence, it has some relationship to the whole, and it benefits it. It benefits it. And God saw it was good. When God created light, did that benefit the whole? Huh? Is light essential to life? Any form of light? Light, I mean, when life as it is. How about vegetation? Next thing you created, vegetation, plant life. Was that essential for the whole? What does vegetation and plant life furnish to everything else in the universe? Well, it gives off oxygen. Gives food. Benefits the whole. It had to be in that order, too. You know that, don't you? In order for animals, the beasts of the field to live, or for man to live, they had to be that vegetation, that element of that which created and gave off oxygen for the benefit of life and its wholeness. See the wisdom of God in everything He did and how He created it. And so on and so forth. You know, the beasts of the field, the animals, cattle, what do? They benefit the whole. Gives off carbon dioxide. You know that's what animals give off? That's what you give off? Yeah, that's what you give off. That plants absorb and food and everything else absorbs that. And it grants life and shares and benefits the whole. Okay? Are you listening to me? So that means anything that is good is going to benefit the whole. If you're a good husband, a good wife, that's going to benefit the whole family. Everybody's going to be benefited by that element of good. If you're a good Christian living a good godly life, it will benefit the whole body. Everybody will be benefited by it. Only takes one rotten apple to spoil the whole rotten bushel, right? Therefore, we got to keep the bushel. God's people have got to be committed to living a upright life, a life of integrity, and doing that which is good or right in the eyes of God. When you think of the aspect of God's final aspect of creation, and He said it is very good, and He created man, I'm sure that I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but let me remind you. Everything God created was for you and me. You know that? It was for the human race. As God, as He expresses it in Genesis 1, beginning at verse 28, it says that God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth," talking to Adam and Eve. And then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all He had made, and behold, it was good. It was good. It was good. Everything God created was an element for what it would be good. I mean, man, when I eat a banana cream pie, I just say, man, it is good. Right? Amen. It's good, right? How many times do you use the word good? I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. You know why? My wife makes the best dressing there is. She just packs it into the turkey. It comes out moist. And I tell you, it is good. Yeah, I know. When I'm done eating it all, I am whole. I'm full. And aspects of that, as far as that's concerned. But in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 15, Amos said these words, "Hate evil, love good." New Testament says the same thing, doesn't it? Hate evil. Hate it. But what? Love good. Love it. Love it. Romans 12:21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Does that mean good is more powerful than evil? Yes. Yes, indeed it is. Indeed it is. It is. Galatians 6:10, which we read in our scripture. "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith." As we have opportunity, we should be looking for opportunity. Opportunity is all around us. And we should have eyes walking under the eyes of God that when the opportunity comes that we can be a blessing and do something good to make another person maybe whole. You know, the Bible says that every word proceedeth out of your mouth that might minister and give edification for the purpose of grace upon the hearer. Okay? The aspect is that when I'm speaking words that edify, I'm building up, I'm making that person feel whole. When I criticize them, I say things against them, I lie, or whatever I do, I'm literally ripping that person's life to pieces. You know that? The aspect of being that every word that comes out of my mouth should make the other person feel complete, whole. Wholesome is the word. That means the words come out of my mouth are good. How many times you heard people say, "Well, I didn't mean what I said." Well, I have a hard time with that because my Bible says out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of a person comes from the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So it must be there. It wouldn't have come out of your mouth, right? So you need to measure your words. I do that. So do we, all of us. So good is a quality. I've looked an aspect of this. Good is a quality of soundness and wholeness that conforms to the moral order of the universe. I'm going to go through you really quick. Consider the world of the astronomers. You know what they've done now? We're back to the spaceships, right? Shooting up and going up into the infinity of time and up there where everything is. But you know, how can they do that? How can scientists know that they can shoot a rocket off from our Earth to the sun or to the moon, if you will, the moon, to Mars, to any place, and know almost to the second, the minute, when it's going to reach there? How they can know that when it descends, it comes back, where it will land, when it will land, and everything. They can do that because they know that there is a universal order of precision law, code of law, that is established in the universe, that is there, and it makes everything work to the wholeness of what happens. They've learned that. They've learned there is a universal order of law, movement in the space world, and it doesn't change. Hasn't changed? Well, matter of fact, it will not change. It will not change. But what happens if they refuse to acknowledge that moral code of laws that's out there in the universe and what's been established? What would happen? There'd be chaos, wouldn't there? Huh? Wouldn't there? Yeah, there would. No question about it. It would indeed be chaos. And to ignore those laws is simply to create it. Is man creating chaos in the world today? Is he? Is man creating chaos? What are those people mobbing and rioting doing for the whole? What benefit are they doing for the whole nation, for all of us? What is the benefit of what they're doing? Absolutely zero to the whole. Okay? Now they may be trying to benefit themselves, but they're not benefiting the whole nation. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Laboratory technicians, right? When you think about all that they've been able to do, what have they found? What have they done? They know that there is a code of law built into the physical system of your body. There are codes there. They learned those codes. And therefore, they've been able to do things that have overcome polio, right? Mumps, right? Other things that they've learned that if they can counteract whatever they found within the code of how the body functions, they have done wonderful things, haven't they? But could they, if they wanted to, could they take that same law of code of order in the medical world, and could they, by refusing to acknowledge that order, create chaos? What happens in a person's body when they're taking 20, 25, 30 different pills every day? I've had doctors after doctors tell me, because I've asked that question, and they say nobody can take that many pills and not have being chaos being created in their system, because those pills counteract with that one doesn't go with that one, etc., etc., etc. You know that? That's what they say. That's what they say. So we got to be very careful that there are those out there that ignore God's created order within the aspect of the system of your body, and they do it simply because, I don't know if you're hearing it or not, but I know there are pill pushers. I know they get paid by the pharmaceutical company to push their pills. I know that for a fact. I just happen to go to a Christian doctor who's a believer. Man, he tells me everything. He lets me know exactly why he does what he does, why he gives me what he gives me. He's taking me off this, taking me off that. That, I mean, I've done it. I've known people's lives who were completely in chaos. I told them, go get a second opinion. Second opinion. They go to another doctor, and the doctor looks at the medication, and they say, why are you taking this? Why is he giving you that? What's that? What's that? Doesn't he know that that is going to cause chaos with this pill, and it's going to raise havoc in your body? I'm just saying, we need to be wise. Because there are those out there that are going against the natural, built-in moral law of how your body functions. How it functions. And you got to know, and not to know is to be ignorant yourself. It has to benefit the whole body. Mentally, physically, spiritually, more, every aspect of it. Every aspect. I know, and I've studied it, and I've found out that there are blood pressure pills out there that people take that will lower their ability in the code of law of morality. I see you shaking your head, yes. Did you know that? You could be a good, sound Christian, and if you start taking those pills, you may find out you're doing something you would not have done if you weren't under those pills. Have you heard of alcohol? You understand how many people have done things that they wouldn't have done if they weren't under the influence? The aspect? Because there's a chemical element of moral code in the body, and you are responsible to keep your body so it is not reacting, it remains whole. The aspect of that, civil engineers. Can you imagine? Have you been to New York and seen those skyscrapers? I mean, you go up and go across the bridge at Mackinac. I mean, how do you feel when you're driving across that bridge? You know? How can they do that? How can they build those mammoth sky rises out there? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories, and so on and so forth. Because these guys have learned and they understand that there is an order of physics that is built in a code of law, moral elements and how things are built, and they are able to excavate the earth, they are able to do mine, they're able to build buildings, they can build bridges like you wouldn't believe because they stay in that moral code of law of physics. To remove themselves from what they've learned from the moral code of law of physics, they would create chaos, wouldn't they? Well, why is it then, if that's true, did not God create a moral code of morality? Didn't he? For relationships, for humans to be able to live together and be whole in a complete environment, whatever that might be. If there's basic laws in every other realm of life out there, you better know that God has created basic laws to control human relationship. And to ignore those is to create chaos. And brother, we're seeing it today like we haven't seen it in a long time. For man to refuse to acknowledge there is a God, then he's going to also refuse to live in the moral code that God established in the human heart. That's what's going to happen. And what you'll have is more envy, more jealousy, more murder, more adultery, more fornication, more lying, more stealing, because man has nothing to control the inner aspect of his being if there is no fear and respect for the laws of God. Period. God's physical laws and all the other laws can't be ignored. And if you and I ignore the laws of God, then I guarantee you, we're going to have nothing but chaos. That's what we're going to have. Was this already on? Look at what he says. Do not be what? God is not. But whatever a man sows, he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good. Do good. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man plants or sows to the flesh, his own desires, he is going to corrupt himself. Once he's corrupted, how will that affect anyone else that interrelates with his life? Answer the question. See? He's going to corrupt everything else around him. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So is there a moral code? Is there a code established by God that can substantiate and bring wholeness to human relationships? Yeah? Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. There's no doubt about it. The aspects of that is very sound, very aspect is given in context of Scripture. And the aspects is found in Galatians 5, 13 and 15. Galatians 5, 13 through 15, God's Word says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. What's God's moral code? Jesus said, love God with their whole being, didn't he? Second was like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so good, in the aspect of it, is a praiseworthy characteristic that will benefit the whole. Does the flesh benefit the whole? Does the flesh benefit the whole? Paul says the works of the flesh are manifested. Remember? Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, division, and on and on and on. Murder, the flesh. What? The flesh. Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. If you become a slave to your flesh, you will never be able to become to the moral code that's going to help in building a wholeness in your relationships. No, it just can't. And so doing of good is the universal law, and doing of good is where you and I basically come to that point where we realize that God has established a moral code in the relationship, and it's called loving one another as Christ loved us. As Christ loved us. What does the Bible say? Love never fails. What does your Bible say? The Bible says pursue love. Pursue it. Seek after it. Run after it. What? Love. Love. Walk in love. That's what it says. Walk in love. And then the aspect, of course, that Paul ends and says, thou there abides faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. That's the moral code. So whenever man stops love and does not walk in love, and what's he going to be walking in? I'll tell you what he's been walking in. He is going to be walking in the desires of his flesh. Now, where does love come from? It comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says emphatically, after he announces all those the works of the flesh, emphatically he says, they who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? He gave us the Holy Spirit to put to death, to mortify the deeds of my flesh, my body. I need a help. I need an injection of penicillin that I would not become a slave to the flesh. If you died with Christ in Romans 6, it says you are not indebted to the flesh anymore. You have died to it. You have come alive, and you are now walking a walk of love. That means that everybody's life you touch, your family and everyone, you will be creating an atmosphere of wholeness by doing good. The aspects, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul identifies it. He says love is what it isn't. Says what is, what isn't. He says, if I do not have love, if I do not have love, and I speak my words, my tongue expresses itself, and are not words of love, speak the truth in love, if I speak, then he says I become like a boom, clanging cymbal. Now he says, yeah, that's what he says. When I speak, I just make a lot of noise. If I have all the knowledge and gifts and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I have to the poor and surrender everything, it benefits, profits me nothing without love. If the without love profits me or benefits me nothing, then what profit or benefit am I to the whole? Because love endures all things, love bears all things, love believes all things. You will not grow weary in doing good if you love the way God wants us to love. When I see opportunity to do good to any person, no matter who they are, because I love, love responds. Love responds. Love responds. And especially when it's my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I see the opportunity that I can do something to bless them that's good and will help them to feel whole, then love responds. Love responds. In conclusion this morning, I'm going to read from the book of Romans chapter 13. And if you will with me, stand together again as we close reading God's Word. Romans 13, beginning at verse 8, would you stand as we read from the Word of God? I honor this book. How do I honor this book? I don't believe it's the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. It contains God's Word. No, it is God's Word, and I honor it by obedience. When it says something, then it's up to me whether I say, speak, Lord, your servant hears, you command, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. I have not always, but I'm telling you this, as the older I get, I have come to the grips of life to realize that what God needs is a people who love like He does. That no root of bitterness would creep in, no, nothing would come that would devour the whole, that would unify and make us complete and whole as the body of Christ right here in Grand Ledge. No place else, right here, this is it. Verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And everybody said, amen. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. So there is an element of law that is established by God, I believe, for you and I to have the relationship that God knows we can have. And that's to love one another as God loved us. And that's very important, isn't it? It's really important. If you're going to obey Christ, you're going to do His will. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? Okay? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You believe He is Lord Christ, that God's exalted Him and set Him on His right hand, and He's ruling and reigning, even though it may not seem that way. God is putting all the enemies under the feet of His Son. My question to you, have you submitted yourself to Him? Have you humbled yourself at the feet of the Son of God and done what He asked you to do? Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't that what He said? That's what He said. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then He commands you this morning that you need to be immersed, baptized. Why? So His blood can be applied to every sin you've ever committed, wash them away. And you can receive that injection of the Holy Spirit that will help you to be and to live godly and to bear the fruit of love. That's very important, people. I guarantee you this. If I don't have the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes, all that's going to say is, you don't belong to me. You not only need your sins washed away, you need the power and the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. You can't overcome the flesh on your own. You see it out there, don't you? You need God's power within you. So if you want that today, and you believe that God will give it to you today, then why don't you honor Him by obedience? Righteousness is obedience, right? That He wants to accredit to you by you obeying Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You for Jesus, who lived a perfect life, perfect example. He did what was right. He honored You, He loved You, and He loved us. He loved us so much that He was willing to lay His life down on the cross and to become our gift offering that would take away Your anger and wrath from us. We're thankful, God, that He is indeed the way, the truth, and the life, and He has given us every opportunity to become your children. I pray that there's anyone here today that has never obeyed you and done what you have commanded, that they will allow the Holy Spirit to move and convict them to do so. But if as we are here, may you look into the depths of all of our hearts, and God, measure the love we have for you and for one another. As Job said, Lord, measure my integrity. Today it's, Lord, measure my love, my commitment to love as you have loved us. So bless us as we share together this moment and this time, opening the door for anyone to come that desires to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.